Yeah, thanks, Ramsey. This joint work together with Jochen Streicher and Olaf Spencik from University of Dortmund and Daniel Lohmann and Vanya Hofer from my own group in Erlangen. The main contributor to this presentation originally is Daniel Lohmann, but he unfortunately scheduled his parental leave in conflict with this conference, and so as his advisor for his PhD work, I just jumped in and tried to give my best and present his fundamental ideas concerning the Chow system. So basically it's a talk about attacking the if-def-help problem of system software development, and here specifically problems which are strongly related to resource-constrained embedded systems. So you all mostly know about embedded systems. We have these kinds of beasts everywhere in the world available. They are of different size. There's different technology inside these individual products. You have different domains from the automotive side, for example, for entertainment products. But for all these different products, the main issue concerning software development is trying to come up with reuse. And this means that you have to address, on the one hand, scalability issues, configurability issues, and also questions on how to tailor your reusable components with respect to very specific hardware as well as application demands. Look at what's the current state of the art, for example, in an embedded operating system like Eagles, for example, elsewhere. You may get a small impression about what the if-def-hell here, for example, is. This is a single constructor of a mutex class in Ecorse, and it comes up with a number of options. So you can structure these options a bit, and then you see that some of these options are related to the priority ceiling or priority inheritance protocol. They are dynamic or static. There are also kernel policies which are related to tracing these functions or instrumentation and even the synchronization of the specific members of these functions. You see this kind of programming and configurability all across mostly the system software, not only of the mutex class, but also of different other implementations. So this is basically what we have to live in most of the system software. So if you're looking at the base implementation of this example here, you see there are four lines, or say two lines of fundamental code in contrast to the 27 other lines which are given in the entire software. So, and most of these options are cross-cutting concerns. Here for this specific example, only for the mutex class, if you're looking at Ecorse, this means 34 if-def blocks spread over 70 functions in data structures and four different implementation units of the software. And this increases if you're looking at other different functions in the system. So this is what sometimes is known as the if-def-hell. It leads to system software which is difficult to understand, to maintain, and even evolve. There is a lack of encapsulation in the implementation. You will see that there's a lot of tangling of many concerns in one implementation unit, and also, on the other hand, a scattering of across several implementation units. So these are basically large problems if you want to go into maintain and evolve further system software once changes have been coming up. So what I now want to present are the fundamental ideas which were standing behind the development of the Chow system. This is, on the one hand, the technology used aspect, or known as aspect-oriented programming, where we use these AOP technologies in order to try to come up with a solution against the if-def-hell problem. So AOP is a mean in order to support modularization of non-cross-cutting concerns. Here you see that these bars are basically representing base code header files or C++ implementation or whatsoever. Here in the leftmost bar, there's an example where you find badly modularized cross-cutting concerns of, say, of the same aspect or same optional feature within the same module. Here you have one bar where you have only one option, which is very well modularized in this sense. And then you have also situations in systems where the same option is cross-cutting across different implementation units. The idea of AOP basically is make a clean separation between what is called the cross-cutting concern, which is going to be modularized by means of writing magic stuff like aspects, and then leave all the component code without any configuration stuff. So no ifdef within the component code. So basically, cross-cutting concerns are encapsulated by means of aspects. The component code is free of all these configuration options. Aspects are used in order to give advice to join points in the target system, so in the base code system of the components. These join points are referred to specific points within the code which refer to certain control flow actions they are implementation. The set of join points then is described by so-called point cut expressions in order to allow for that these advices which you want to give to the implementation can be scattered across several implementation units. So a basic concept in AOP in general is what is known as obliviousness and quantification. This means that the basic idea for obliviousness, the components or the base code must not be specifically prepared in order to allow that the aspects can be applied to this software code. So no changes at the given code. And quantification basically means that you will be able to scatter your aspects and the implementation across several modules. Of course, in order to do things like that, you have to come up with programming language support. We are using Aspect C++, which is an extension to C++, and we are using a source-to-source weaver, where the weaver then takes normal C++ sources and the Aspect C++ sources at input and performs all the transformation stuff and generates normal C++ code, which is fed into the C++ compiler in order to generate a binary program. So why do we believe AOP can help in this situation? So here a short example. Suppose you have a caller function Dingus which has an optional feature embedded inside its code. So the option means call thingy under certain circumstances for a specific static configuration of your system. Whenever the interface to thingy changes, you have to change in all the places where a thingy is going to be called in the source code level the same interface here, for example. The AOP way to go is the other way around. You simply leave the original source code base as it is, no configuration specification inside that code, but rather you give an advice telling the aspect weaver that whenever you find a function named Dingus, and after its execution, simply add this optional implementation stuff. So there's a code transformation going on in the process at compilation time, meaning that this optional stuff then will be added at the end of the Dingus implementation. Quantification, the other important aspect of AOP here, means, for example, if you have the same function, a dingy, which is called from within several other places inside your implementation here, the AOP way to go would be simply tell the aspect weaver that all the function dingos added with a wildcard, which you will find in the source code, will be given an advice in the sense that after the execution of this function that is at the end of this implementation parts here, adds optional stuff. So no ifdefs in this sense in the original code, and it's allowed to scatter even these sorts of implementation across different pieces of code. Now, I would like to point out how we are using this approach in the software development of the child system aspect or aware operating system design. The goal of the child project was not only coming up with a nicely embedded operating system for example, automotive industries, but also try to evaluate in this process if AOP is suitable exactly for the development in this domain, for the design of configurable embedded system software. And the main fundamental questions here were, can AOP help to avoid the if-then-fail problem on the one hand, and on the other hand, is AOP efficient enough for the demand of these specific embedded systems we are looking at? Yes, it is, but it's not per se by simply using AOP as it is. You have to come up with a system design which is an aspect where, and this means, for example, obliviousness, the fundamental feature or property of AOP style of programming, no, or you have to relieve from from a number of problems coming up with this. But quantification, yes, that's very good in this sense. So I will elaborate on it a little bit. So idea how we used aspect-aware design is provide unambiguous and statically available join point of your system. With ambiguity, we mean specifying important system transitions in the system that can be captured by point cut expressions. A system transition, for example, would be a thread exchange, a context switching, synchronization event, for example. So you have to make these points in your source code explicit, which is not oblivious in the sense of AOP, in order to be able to write aspects and find join points which have to be mapped exactly at these places. And then on the other hand, static evaluation, in order to meet the very, very strict requirements of embedded systems, deeply embedded systems, meaning to avoid all overhead maybe coming up due to certain dynamic effects. AOP knows about so-called dynamic point cut functions. You have to write the software in such a way that you don't need exactly these sorts of point cut functions. So this means at least three fundamental design principles: loose coupling, usable transitions, and minimal extensions of your system software. The result is a sparse system designed mainly with classes, but then a majority of the other software then comes up within aspects. So this means that a majority here will be related to optional features in the system. We identified three fundamental types of aspects when we did such a design approach. First, we had so-called extension aspects, which are used to add features, and we had policy aspects, which were used in order to glue various components together. And finally, we had upcall aspects in order to bind behavior to lower-level events, such as interrupt handlers, for example. An example of an extension aspect, so task scheduling, for example. So you have a structured task, which is the basis for the task descriptor, giving task priorities or some state. You have a scheduler, which still basically is working on instances of this structure, implements a ready list, and provides, say, two primitives in order to manipulate the ready list, activate threads, and reschedule the system. So an extension would mean, for example, here in the child case, adding resource control. For example, this would mean giving an advice, a so-called slice advice, meaning that for resource control, the fundamental task structure is extended by additional member variables, which are needed in order to implement resource control in a task-related manner. And at the same time, you are going to extend the scheduler interface here by giving the scheduler slice-wise, adding two new functions which simply performing mutex style of locking and resource allocation schemes for the resources. Policy aspects, here an example is used for in Java, for example, to specify preemption points in a system. That means that you write so-called point cut expressions and by giving the match expression as shown here. This means that of interest are the points where the function activates, set event, and release resources are going to be executed in the system after that execution of any of these functions simply invokes a rescheduling function here. The TGB is basically in aspect C, that what is known as what is a this pointer in C++. So it gives exactly the implementer of that aspect here context information about this join point. So you are not only able to access this pointer, which is the function that here in this case, but also local variables, parameters of the environment where exactly this function activate, set event, or release resources have been executed, for example. And then upcall aspects, meaning here, for example, binding of an interrupt handler. Interrupt handlers in Java simply empty functions. They are only introduced in the base system by giving the name in order to have a join point explicit available for the weaver. And then the original behavior of this very specific interrupt handler, dependent on of the configuration which is going to be created for the system, then has been added to the system by giving an advice. And this means, for example, after the execution of this timer handler here, for example, then do this stuff which is being included in the body of this aspect here. Yes, evaluation of this approach concerning the suitability for the embedded systems we are looking at. So first of all, is the approach suitable for a configurable system? Is AUP suitable for resource-constrained system? And this has to address the question, what about modularization, scalability, and resource efficiency in this sense? So here, the concrete discussion of the numbers is given in the paper, so please look at it for more details. I would like to point out some small details here. What you see here is a number of concerns which are implemented within the Chow system for a family member which is conformant to OSIG or AUTOSAR implementation. So OSIG and AUTOSAR are very important commercial implementations for the automotive industry, not only in Europe, but maybe all over the world. If you're simply looking at Bosch, even in the US, most of of the electronic control units in your cars are from Bosch, and Bosch implements the OSIG standards and the AUTOSAR standards, the forthcoming standard in this case. So they predefine a certain of concerns and specify how these sorts of operating system should implement in certain features. We are having implemented in Java, for example, interrupt service routines by giving extension aspects or a resource support by giving some policy aspects and so on. The interesting point here is in order to evaluate whether or not the modularization of these cross-cutting concerns was good or bad in this system is given here. If the number of join points is larger than the number of advices, then you can say you were able to reuse the optional advice implementation at different join points in your system. So you have improved reusability a lot in this case. And there you can see, for example, in this case, interrupt synchronization checks was a nice example here for this. Then performance. chow runs on a number of microcontroller system. These are numbers from the Tri-Core based platform, which is also a processor which is broadly used in the automotive industry, in the electronic control units. These are number of clock cycles. We compared the chow system with this aspect-aware approach against OSIC implementations, and you can see that in most cases, chow performs better than OSIC. Just an explanation what min and full means here compared to the min of OSIC. So this is the minimal configuration for an OSIC operating system related to the functions needed in order to carry out this test scenario. Full for chow means that you exactly repeat the same functionality of OSIC in this case. But we were able to avoid some additional overhead which OSIC was not able to invoke. For example, in the OSIC system, you cannot configure out synchronization features, although the resulting kernel never needs to synchronize. If you have a non-preemptive system, and there are representations of OSIC kernels which are running in non-preemptive mode, you don't need synchronization, but OSIC is not able to put all the software out of the kernel in this sense. That is what we are able to do, because synchronization is an aspect which is applied or not applied depending on the configuration you want to create in your system to your sources. So the minimal functional here means that you have thrown away all the unnecessary functions of your system which do not directly relate to support which is needed in order to run this test scenario here. And then another example concerning the memory footprint: for every single abstraction which is provided by the chow system, you will have exactly the numbers concerning text size, concerning data size, BSS size, stack segment, for example. And you can see how additional functionality of a system increases the memory footprint of your system. This is fairly just as a worst-case execution time for most of these parts of software in this domain is important. Is it important to have something like a worst-case memory demand of your system in order to make clear decisions about what sort of hardware is required in order to support applications, for example? So you can see that this approach scales, and the developer also has a clear understanding of what specific configuration options cost in terms of performance as well in terms of memory requirements in your system. So we can say that AOP, how we use the AOP in the chow development, leads to a configurable system. We have a good increased modularization. Scalability in this sense is good. We have a good resource efficiency if you compare this approach at least to existing commercial solutions in that domain, as well as scalability is good. But of course, there are some issues. So first of all, issues regarding aspects of low-level code. In some sense, the transformations, the aspect weaver is going to be undertaken, can break fragile join points in your system. This often is the case in terms of context switching. So the problem here is that you have, on the one hand, the aspect weaver who doesn't know anything about the register allocation strategies, for example, of the compiler. So in some sense, it's different to know if you, for example, want to write an aspect where you want to say, for this thread, I only want to save this set of register. It depends on how the compiler actually generates the code block. This is a problem. There are some tricks in order to overcome this problem, but this is not very nice. Aspect interdependencies, this is a big problem. So you are able to give other advices here to perform some relationships. Joint point traceability is a problem which addresses the evolution of software in the code base, and granularity also is a problem. For some cases, you have to know that advices apply to procedures, not to statements. So if you want to make statement-level AOP, that's a problem with the state-of-the-art system. So AOP, as we used it, is very well suited for the implementation of highly configurable system software. Avoids if-tef-hell, and with aspect awareness and the design principle in mind, we are able to come up with an increased modularization at no cost. And as far as we know, that Chao is the first aspect-oriented operating system for the embedded systems domain, which has been developed in such a manner. So thanks for your attention. I'm open for questions.
So Ramsey Arpachi Dussault from Wisconsin. And I had a question. I guess you talked about it just slightly at the end where about the ordering of advice.
Aspect,
yeah, and that does that come up also in how structures are defined? For example, where, you know, which when you're adding like some variables to a structure, are people allowed to kind of change what order they end up in the structure? As well as in terms of execution, I guess, whether this before method gets called before some other before method.
The order advice is used in order to tell the aspect weaver in which, order, basically the aspects are going to be intermixed with the source code. So this does not relate to this would mean that, of course, if you have slices which apply to structures, that different orders of members in the structure will maybe come up. But if you don't have, say, code in your base code, this is the original idea, which depends on the order of these variables, you basically will have no problem, right? So of course, you have a problem if you're using a C pointer, a character star, and you simply assume that in that order of my memory cells, the variables are lying. So that's doesn't work, right?
You mentioned that aspects can be only applied to procedures.
Yeah.
And so would it result, so if we try to use aspect-oriented programming for OS, would it result in some kind of procedure hell instead of if-tef hell, or?
Yeah, that's okay. So there are some work on statement-level aspect-oriented programming. So, but the AOP community is fairly conservative because the software engineers say, so no, we don't like that. This is patching. And that's true in some sense. Although, so statement-level AOP, they are trying to make it type-safe and all the nice stuff. But basically, you are right. If you and that's my problem, of course, with AOP in this sense, if you want to do some very, very fine-grained aspect weaving at statement level, you have to add some additional pseudo names, namely empty functions, in order to be able to apply aspects, to find your join points in the system. Yeah? But our experience is that we had not that much cases in this situation. Only in this, what I mentioned was a fragile join point cases for context switching, for example.
Saurabh Bakshi from Purdue University. I appreciate the fact that it's very difficult to configure embedded operating systems to different platforms. And the result that you showed on the modularization of the system partly proves the case that with your approach, it's possible to configure it. But wouldn't you say that ultimately the proof is that you're actually able to take this operating system and able to run it on different kinds of hardware platforms? And do you have any thoughts on how you would quantify the effort involved in that kind of configurability?
You mean using the same operating system and porting it to different platforms versus configuration? So yeah, it's no problem. So if but you going that way. But if you're looking, for example, at industry, so why is industry, at least in Germany, the automotive industry, not willing to accept, for example, Linux for the electronic control units? You have a tri-core system there. You have, say, 2 megabytes of flash memory available. You have 100 kilobytes of RAM. This is fairly large piece of memory where you could put a Linux or even a QNX system, for example, inside of VxWorks. They don't do that because most of the resources for these types of for these types of systems must remain available for the application in this sense. This is one aspect. And the other aspect is they wanted to come up with very, very deterministic behavior of your system. And this means throw away all the stuff which is not needed by a specific application. And this means you are forced at the lower level, at the system software level, in order to be configurable, in order to provide always only exactly that function what the application requires. So this is a conflict, and it has to do with on the cost pressure related to certain set of limited hardware resources on the one hand, and coming up with deterministic behavior of your software. I believe the second part is much more important for the total functioning of the application, and so the configurability of your system will ever be a problem in this domain, even in the cases where the microcontrolling units which are going to be used will have, say, 20 megabytes of memory available. So the
Thank you.